from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Red Bigs. Bigs time.
Bigs.
With Molly and Hall.
The Biggs Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire. Check it out, Aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, I think we should talk about a bunch of nonsense, and then about halfway through the interview, we'll ask you about dun-dun-dun! Roma Dudze getting an MRI and having a sprain of his MCL. I thought it was weird the way that came out yesterday, but maybe I'm picking nit. What the heck's going on, Brad?
Yeah, he gets looks like he tweaks it on a blocking assignment there in the fourth quarter, and that's what Eberflus indicated. And I think they got mostly good news, right, from the results. It doesn't sound like this is anything that's going to push him towards a short-term injured reserve stay or anything like that. But obviously you don't want any of your frontline players being injured. I would think we'll probably have to wait till maybe even Friday to get a better idea of what his availability will be for Sunday night in Houston. But again, probably a good thing it's not more significant.
What did you make of the way it was distributed, though, in terms of the information and the timing of it, though, because it was unusual, and I'd wonder if it was in the back of his mind because he doesn't consider it a serious thing, or if it was just an oversight, or was it intentional?
I mean, if the coach is forthcoming with injury information on a Monday, I think you take it how you can get it, right? You know, some of these guys they want to turn it into a cat and mouse game. I don't think he was asked specifically about health before that question about the other wide receivers came up. So,
okay,
you know, and you didn't have an indication that there might have been something potentially wrong with Rome after the game. Like
he talked, so he spoke to reporters.
Yeah, it's probably a situation where he came in Monday morning, and this before. Mm-hmm. Matt Eberflus spoke yesterday. Mm-hmm. It didn't feel great, and they said, okay, we got to get that checked out. So he probably wasn't overly concerned about it, but I'm not going to be a guy that can – I'll find plenty to complain about. I won't complain about how the coach disseminates injury information, if indeed he does, on a Monday.
So, Brad, we know that Tyler Scott had what seemed like a pretty good chemistry, if you will, with the quarterback during the preseason. He just will step into that spot. Is that the idea? And then you move forward. Would they look to advance someone from the practice squad, maybe at wide receiver two, something like that? Or is DeAndre Carter good enough to be that guy?
If you think that Tyler Scott can handle a bunch of that stuff and DeAndre Carter between the two of them and what you're going to do with your different formations, I don't know that you have to promote somebody from the practice squad, because they obviously didn't need Tyler Scott this past game. And you know, if they have to put Velus a wide receiver, they can do that. I don't know that they have a game-breaking option.
Colin Johnson, Samari Torre.
Yeah, if they're looking for a bigger guy to be kind of that boundary X on occasion, maybe Colin Johnson gets a promotion. I don't know, guys. Maybe they could put the tight end they paid $50 million to on the field for more than half the snaps. Like, you could, there would be a lot of ways to go about this.
Yeah, I mean,
if Roma Dunze isn't available Sunday night, and one of them, you know, could be some different things with your personnel before you get to thinking about plucking a guy off the practice squad.
Yeah, the offensive line needs some work. Caleb Williams needs some work. Shane Waldron could use some work. I think the personnel groupings were a bit confusing at times, Brad. I wonder what he learns from the first experience and go-around with that group of talent. I think you're willing to give him some time to adjust and adapt. He's a new offensive coordinator. But beyond the play calling, I think the personnel groupings also didn't make sense all the time. And Cole Kmet playing 27 snaps, to me, represents that as much as anything.
Yeah, to me, it's the percentage, right? They had 56 plays and Cole's out there for 27. I think if they've got 56 plays and Cole's healthy, he should probably be out there 40 snaps, 42, you know, something.
Yes.
You don't want to have him out there too much. And they actually reduced his playing time a little bit last year. Not a lot, just in terms of snap counts. And I think he would probably tell you he was more effective because of it, especially later in games and things of that nature. So I can't imagine Matt Waldron's going to have a great explanation for the Cole Kmet usage on Thursday, but maybe he'll surprise us. And really, more important than what he says is what you see on the field Sunday night down in Houston against the Texans.
So, Brad, you talk about that game against the Texans. You know, they obviously drafted C.J. Stroud with the second overall pick. Then they traded up and they got the third overall pick, and they took Will Anderson, and he was the defensive rookie of the year last year. And I believe they signed Danielle Hunter. We know the havoc he can wreak. And he's on the other side. So they got a couple of big-time pass rushers. I think they made some changes in the interior of their defensive line. What is the greatest concern this week in terms of the offensive line potentially overmatched?
Well, in terms of the Bears playing better up front, they've got to be better on the interior. I think they've got to be better running the football. You know, we talk about them only being out there for 56 snaps and how Tennessee kind of controlled the clock in that game. Well, a big reason why that happened is the Bears didn't get first downs. And when you don't get first downs, you're probably going to lose the time of possession battle. So I think they've got to be able to run the football, put the quarterback in positions where you've got manageable down and distance. You can get your play action going, your different things that you want to involve in the offense. And yeah, they've got some proven guys down there in Houston on that line. They got better defensively they spent the offseason upgrading the talent around C.J. Stroud as well. Like that was the kind of the darling team last year, right? The Houston Texans with the job that D'Amico Ryans did with that. And a lot of times you see that darling team that kind of comes out of nowhere, it will leave the party pretty quickly, right? They'll just fade and go away. 2018, the Chicago Bears were that darling team, right? Well, they didn't stick around for long, did they? Like it was pretty much done the next year. And all downhill from there. So Houston's trying to prevent that from happening. And so the Texans had a busy offseason. The Bears are going to have their hands full. Everybody knows they're going to have to play better offensively to go on the road and get a win this week. And I think they're going to have to be better defensively as well. They're not going against Will Levis this week.
One of the most overlooked plays of the game, there weren't many positives offensively, but I thought the two-point conversion was outstanding. The deception with it, the obvious, did that come up at all on Monday, Brad? And what did you think of it in retrospect? Because it was one of those things where it was an important point in the game.
Especially, they couldn't move the ball, and all of a sudden they're going for a two-point conversion. It's no problem.
It's like, why are they on the field? Oh, nice job, Shane Waldron. So if we're going to criticize him for the play or the groupings, I think that was something worth complimenting.
Yeah, and they had some – if you look at some of the plays they missed, guys, they were just off. Like, they've got a big pass play sitting there if the fullback Kari Blassingame makes his block.
Right.
And he's in the right spot, like just gets the job done. They got a touchdown if Coleman Shelton doesn't get tripped by Tevin Jenkins and then kind of toppled on the blitz. And there are probably about four or five other plays you could pick out. And guys, we could have done this last year with the offense where you look at it and you're like, oh, that there's nothing but green grass around that guy. If this one person does their job and they get the ball to this guy, but there were plenty of plays where there was a lot of room for profit. It wasn't like they were just bulldozed up front. But the play with the 19-yard sack, that was like a fancy screen pass. Some of the stuff you looked at and you're like, well, it's great when it works. I mean, it's really great when it works. When it blows up in your face, it's the first thing you say, maybe the nicest thing you say, is they were trying to get too cute, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some of the stuff just struck me as maybe a little too cute. And then I think at times it looked like Caleb was probably playing a little too fast. You know, he wants to get the ball out of his hands. What did they talk about? They talked about him being a point guard. And what's a good point guard do? He gets the ball to his guys. And just looked like he was a little too quick at times. I think that'll slow down. Does that happen this week? I don't know, but I wouldn't sound any alarm bells over how Caleb Williams played in week one. I think he's going to be just fine.
You know, I agree with you. I'm just curious. You know, we had talked in the pregame about this idea of what we heard from a lot of the experts around the game, including Rick Spielman, who said he felt like Caleb on the move is a really dangerous player, and they showed that in the preseason. So everybody wanted him to be in the pocket, and let's see if he can be a pocket passer. And certainly there were some batted balls, and there were concerns going in about his height, which is totally – you know, he's over 6 feet tall. He's 6'1" plus, but he's not 6'4", right? He's not a like typical pocket passer type of quarterback the way you envision it. He's got a strong arm, but is he seeing everything? And we saw a lot of passes that were tipped. And David asked a great question. Did that happen in practice? Did you see a lot of that going on when they were doing 11-on-11 drills?
You saw some in practice, but that's one of those things that you'll see an inordinate amount of tip balls on occasion in practice, because it's they can't hit the quarterback, right? It's not live, and so the guys will pull up and sort of jump up.
Yeah.
And they know the passing lanes that he's using.
Yeah,
and familiar with
him. And so then the offensive lineman gets pissed, and then the quarterback's upset, and eventually the coach, because you just get batted passes all over the place, which aren't natural football plays, because in a football game, 95% of the times this is happening in practice, the guy's engaged, continuing to rush. He's trying to smack the quarterback, not smack the ball down. I think there were three that were batted at the line. Houston had a total of five pass deflections in the game. Two of them were for Amani Hooker, so those are in coverage. So I think there were three of them.
Aren't you supposed to kill the guy if he's jumping? I mean, aren't you supposed to hit him that stops him from doing so?
Right. But, when one of them was on, I think Arden Key had one, kind of when he was one-on-one with Caleb. That's something we should probably keep an eye on moving forward. That's something that as we collect a larger data point, I think you can look at and say, okay, right. Is this problematic, or is this kind of within that normal range you would expect?
Brett, I think all of us individually have reasons that are legit that maybe the Pro Football Focus metrics aren't always trusted or trustworthy. Sometimes you can get kind of misleading statistics and we don't know what they're grading or what they're watching. That said, Tevin Jenkins yesterday, according to PFF, had the fourth worst pass blocking grade among qualifying guards in week one. And I thought he was the guard who had the better day. So how deep is this crisis on the offensive line, if we want to call it that? And how do you think the Bears will respond? Do they look at it as one, it's the first game, it's an aberration?
Yeah, I mean, they don't care about PFF grades.
I know that. That's not what I'm asking. Metric, though, to measure if he had a bad day and everyone else we know had a bad day, how do they respond to the collective bad day?
Where do they find three new interior linemen?
Yeah, well, I think we talked about that yesterday, guys. There's just you've only got some badly used stuff down on the shelves at the offensive line store. Yeah, you knew Jeffrey Simmons was going to be a load for those guys on the interior of the offensive line. Tavondre Sweat, the rookie from Texas, he was overmatching Tevin at times. Everybody on the interior there, that for being 362 or whatever they list him at, he can really move. He can get going when he wants to get going. I think that was the scouting report on him coming out of Texas, is that he could be very disruptive at times. The question is whether that's something that Denard Wilson and the Titans coaching staff can harness and get out of him on a regular basis. Is Simmons the kind of veteran next to him that can kind of show him the way? If that's the case, the Titans have got a pretty nasty duo for their interior, but it's concerning for the Bears offensive line, right? Coleman Shelton's got to be better. Their rotation at right guard, which sounds like we could see more of both players, Nate Davis and Ryan Bates, playing Sunday night in Houston. That needs to be better. Tevin needs to be better. Tevin needs to be better in big moments against good players. He's a guy that you can find plenty of clips of him, just riding some guy 10, 15 yards downfield or taking a guy over toward the sideline. And there's, when he goes against some of these better players, he's had some rough stretches, really poor performance against good interior defensive linemen of the Packers at the end of last season. And when there's somebody good against the Bears, Tevin needs to rise up and perform well.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years. Estwing.com.
That's great, Brad, and those are good points. The only thing I wonder that, we're speculating, we're looking at something that didn't work. Tevin Jenkins was a pretty good right guard. If the Bears were going to go into the season with a rotation at that position, wouldn't it make sense to have the rotation? I don't know. They didn't move him to right guard. He's at left guard, maybe solidified there. But the idea of having Tevin Jenkins next to Darnell Wright is more appealing and stable than having your entire line in a state of flux, and I don't think you're happy with the outcome after week one. So I don't know if you would consider changing anything. I doubt it, but I do wonder.
I don't see them flip-flopping guys and continuing with the rotation. I like him. I think he could be a really good left guard at times. He's got to be a little more consistent, and he's got to prove the durability piece, right? That's what's been kind of fleeting for him throughout his career. And if he can do that and those other guys can be a little bit better, you'll see some improvement. The good thing is Houston's got some players on the other side of the ball. D'Amico Ryans isn't quite as much into disguises and deception and you're trying to figure out where they're coming from as right. Tennessee was. They've got a very good defense, but they don't lean on trying to confuse you nearly as much as I think Tennessee did.
Brad, we'll let you go. I just want to clarify one quick thing. If Ryan Bates is in competition for a starting job at guard and seems to be ahead in that quest, there's no chance you have enough time to develop him as a center, right? I'm just saying that boat may have sailed by injury in the preseason, or can he jump in whenever he wants? It's very questionable to me.
It wouldn't be ideal, but if something were to happen to Coleman Shelton,
yeah,
I think you'll probably see Bates at center because, you know, unless they're dressing, you know, if Doug Kramer is going to dress every game, then you've got an option right there. But I would think that if they feel like Bates is in a place conditioning wise, and Eberflus referenced that after the game the other day that he had only practiced for a week, that sort of thing. If he's conditioning-wise ready for a full game, I would think that he'd be the next man up there. They do have more depth than they had the past 2 years. You just want to see him go out and have a better game against Houston.
Great stuff, Biggsy. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Brad.
Have a great day, guys.
That's our guy, Brad Biggs, a football man from the Chicago Tribune. There's a lot there, man. There's a lot to talk about with this thing, because here's the problem with the offensive line. You want to know what it is?
Everything.
Well, after this game, we're going to be talking about how bad they are at tackle. We've talked about how bad they are on the inside of their offense after they got overwhelmed in that game, the first game. The second game is going to be all about Braxton Jones sitting in Caleb Williams' lap.
Yeah, the Texans don't disguise because they can get to the quarterback without it.
Yes, that's exactly right. It's a problem. Mully and Haw on the score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter,
Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Coleman's been in there, and he's done a good job of directing traffic and operating in there. And I know he had a couple plays where he gave up a couple pressures yesterday, and he wishes he had those plays back. But, again, we're going to get better every single week.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That is the voice of the head coach, Matt Eberflus. Just be careful of how you talk about players. You just have to be careful, because like when you say things like, oh, I'm proud of Ailes, you kind of undercut your credibility a little bit.
Publicly, perhaps.
Okay.
I don't disagree with that, Mully. I think you always want to be careful. Skilled communicators know how to do that. At the same time, we both know that his intended target audience isn't us.
Right.
It really isn't the fans either.
No,
when he says stuff about Velus Jones, that I'm proud of him, that goes a long way in that locker room for a coach that connects well with his players.
Listen, right? You know, it's very important that you don't throw guys under the bus.
And he doesn't.
Okay?
I can't remember him ever even coming close.
But Brian Callahan, if he didn't throw his quarterback under the bus after that performance, I don't know what you'd do.
Different scenario, different approach.
Well, but it's also the truth. Like, hey, you can't do that. He didn't tear the guy to shreds, but he did say, let's take a listen to what Brian said.
It was situational. We were playing so good on defense that it's almost as if, I mean, if we just punted it on first and 10 every time, we might have won the game the way that, you know, we gave it away.
We gave it away.
Fair enough. Mully, all I'm saying, and I'm not defending that approach necessarily, if you're a head coach, you've got to be yourself. I don't know Brian Callahan, but my sense is that he is somewhat sarcastic. He's maybe like his father. He's very blunt and direct. And so if he's like that, then that's very much on brand for him.
He's got Southside roots.
Exactly. Okay. He was born in Champaign, I think.
Hey, that's right.
He's got Illinois roots. So yeah. I think, though, but what you want from a head coach is the way that he communicates to be consistent with his personality.
Okay.
Matt Eberflus is not a bus tosser. So I don't think he's ever been a guy that has been. And that sometimes drives us crazy. I'm not saying that he should call out Coleman Shelton, that he should call out Velus Jones.
I'm not,
I think we'd appreciate it more.
Yeah.
We'd appreciate that.
I don't want that. I do think that you, and I guess he did to a minor extent, you do acknowledge, not, well, he'd like a couple of those back, but, you know, it was a bad game for a lot of guys on our offensive line. You can say that.
You can say that.
You can tell the truth. Yeah. We all saw it without acting like, whoa, he was doing this and that. No, he wasn't. And I'll tell you something else, man. We didn't talk to Bigsy about it, but there were a couple of snaps, if you really go back and watch it, where the quarterback is kind of double catching the
ball. It wasn't right there. It wasn't right where it needed to be. It was you're talking about the shotgun snaps.
I'm saying that could have been a problem too.
It wasn't
perfect. Not that I expect everything to be perfect. I'm merely saying, The one thing the Bears didn't do was turn the ball over.
Yes.
Other than the kick returner, where, remember, the ball went through his hands.
He kicked it like he was playing for the Chicago Fire.
Yes.
Yes, he booted it. That's a Velus play.
And he got the ball too far ahead of him if he was trying to dribble.
And how did Matt Eberflus respond to that?
Yeah, I was proud of Velus Jones.
Okay.
See,
I thought that he had turned a corner in preseason when he called out Nate Davis.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think each player requires a different approach. Velus Jones may be one of those guys where when he's going through a tough time, maybe he needs to be hugged. I don't know the case, but I know that he's consistent with trying to be positive. It drives some people crazy. I don't like it all the time, but it is consistent with his personality.
All I'm saying, and I totally agree that with you, I thought he turned a corner too. And I think that when you speak the truth, the players know it. You know, every player on the team knows who played well and who played poorly. Every one of them. Players themselves know when they don't play well. But they also know when they had a good game and this guy let them down. To me, if you're just frank and honest about everything that's going on, there's a way to say it without insulting the guy. There's a way to say it without throwing him under the bus.
Don't disagree.
And if to protect him, you say, well, he wasn't the only guy that had issues and we really have to work. That's all.
And the other intended audience besides maybe the locker room to show that you do support publicly your players is the opponent. And I don't know that you want to be the guy who is announcing or
I agree.
Or forecasting or foreshadowing a personnel change because you sound perturbed at the microphone.
I agree.
So they're not going to say Coleman Shelton is going, oh man, he stunk and he's going to be replaced. No, they want to have the Texans prepare as if they're not going to be any changes. But they want the Texans to think that Velus Jones might be deep on kickoffs.
But David, don't you think that now you have a game on tape, a full game on tape. The Houston Texans are looking at that tape. They are evaluating it. They've surely had a scout at the game. They're going to write a report that will reflect the weaknesses. You will get a scouting report.
Highway 65 is open.
That's it.
Yes.
That's it.
That's the first line of your scouting report.
There you go. There's no way around it.
I get it. But, Molly, you know, I mean, coaches are different. I want to talk to Dave Wanstedt when he gets into the next segment about this because you have to – it's like your kids. It's like whatever the case is. You know, everybody has a different sort of reaction to criticism. Some players can take it. Some players may welcome it.
Hey, listen, understand what I'm saying. I don't want him calling people out. I don't think that helps him. I want him to be himself. I also don't want him proud of a guy that can't catch the ball on a kickoff return who's only on the team because he can make a kickoff return. That's all.
I get it.
I understand what he was saying, that Velus came back and his head was up.
That's what he was proud of.
I know. Yeah. I know what he meant. But I just think when you say stuff like that, you know, we could take that out of context and keep playing it as Brandon has done a couple times
already. Brandon does
that.
That's his thing, right?
But it's you said that and it you just sound Boy, if he could fumble twice this week, I'd love him.
It depends on the listener too. Like he sounds like a guy that's supportive. He sounds like a guy that I think a lot of people, it depends on how you're viewing his words and what you think of the man actually, or what you think of him as a coach. When he said that, I looked at a guy, if he had called him out and said, you know what, Velus Jones, that's unacceptable. He'll be lucky if he's on the team this week
I'm not suggesting he say that, but he doesn't have to say he's proud of him. Boy, I'll tell you what, if he could fumble now as a running back, I'd be bursting with pride.
I was proud of Velus Jones.
I'm just saying that's
wrong.
I know it's wrong, but you opened the door to that.
You know what, though? It's going to sound like I'm defending him. I'm not. I think that if you're a coach, if you're a leader, and you have people that you're in charge of, and you find an example of somebody who has shown some degree of resolve in bouncing back from a mistake and overcoming that adversity, which is the biggest cliche in all the sports. Every locker room, what are you going to do? Well, we overcame adversity. That's an example where Velus Jones could have, they gave him another chance to fail, and he didn't. And that's what I think he was referring to more than anything.
Well,
I'm okay with
it. See, they gave him a chance to fail when they kept him on the team, and they broadcast the TV show where they claimed he was a four-core special teamer when the reality is he can't be on the punt return team because he can't catch a damn punt. So now he can't catch a kickoff, so he can't be on the kickoff team. He lost his job. They replaced him. And because he was active, they threw him a couple of runs. Here, you can run the ball over here. I'm sorry, man. That guy is not on my active roster in Houston, and I don't think he's on yours either.
I don't think he is. I don't think he is, and I think that is the way that you hold somebody accountable.
Yes.
It's not
actions
necessarily
speak louder than
they
words.
Do, and the action should be inaction. Right. So you don't play him against the Texans. And you make it clear that what you got from him in the opener is unacceptable. But publicly, you have to support him only because that's what coaches do a lot of times.
Yeah.
It's almost like an acceptable thing about being disingenuous.
Dustin, you wanted to say something?
Well, just I agree with you guys about it. He shouldn't be active. Could the punt returner become the kickoff returner?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? The easy trade-off. But just imagine, if anybody should be proud of themselves, I guess it's actually Matt Eberflus and the offensive coordinator to have the intestinal fortitude, the first play in the second half, the Bears gave him the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if it had failed to the point that Mully had said, and they lost the game because all of a sudden they were up 24-3 based on a lost ball and then converted. I mean, we would have absolutely been eviscerating them. How could you do that? I mean, they were spitting into the wind and they got lucky.
Yeah, I mean, here's the deal. You keep a guy on the roster because he was a third round pick and he's got speed and you're looking for something. But this is still a work in progress with this guy, and it's not working.
Do you think that your reaction to the proud comment is a result of being fed up with past Velus Jones mistakes?
No question.
I'm just curious because I don't think you'd
That's
have the same reaction if you had somebody else who made a mistake.
You're so right.
DeAndre Swift, he fumbled and then he went back on the field and he gave him the ball.
You're so right. I think the very fact that I watched this TV show where after the fourth preseason game, they said, well, we got to give him another look because of how well he played as the fifth running back against the guys that will be on the street in 2 days. I mean, David, you know that drove me out of my mind.
Yeah, I know.
And then when I heard him talk about Coleman Shelton, it's just like, oh, God, you got to be kidding me, coach. And I'm not asking him to throw anyone under the bus, but don't protect people that really
don't deserve
your protection now.
In Coleman Shelton's case, he may be the best of their alternatives.
I think he's the best option they have.
So he's got to continue to support him. It is
agree.
A different scenario.
It's different.
So when you hear him talk about the center yesterday, it's because he can't say anything else.
No, I agree. I agree with
you. It's a tough spot to be in, though.
We'll ask Coach Wanstead about it. I'm dying to ask him about what he thinks of Steve Sarkisian talking about the Notre Dame scenario.
Showing his Texas team the winning field goal from Northern Illinois.
It's unbelievable.
It's awesome.
Mully and Haas, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Dave Wunstead, Bears head coach for 6 seasons.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Super Bowl champion.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah!
He has the greatest mustache you've ever seen.
Some say it's a symptom of manliness. Others a cause. The mustache.
When he hanging out with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Open up the door. It's Dave.
Who?
Dave. D-A-V-E.
Dustin, we're not going to waste airtime on that, okay?
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank you very much.
Dave Wunstead.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to have Coach Wanstead in the studio to talk football with him. Dave, good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Good to be with you guys all the time. This is I love this. You know, Dustin, I said we don't want to waste air time. We definitely don't want to waste airtime on Notre Dame, do we, this morning?
Oh, wow.
Thanks, Coach.
I'm just asking.
Rubbing my nose in it a little bit.
I am a little bit.
That was rough. There weren't enough Mick Ultras Saturday night to get me over that.
Boy, I know. And it's kind of – I was out at my grandson's football game practice last night, and they had a rough one last weekend, and one of the dads said, Jesus – I said, what happened to our offense? He said, we kind of look like Notre Dame.
Oh, wow.
But really quick, on Loyola, really quick, I would like to congratulate and thank Loyola Academy for going into Glen Ellen and knocking the Hilltoppers, the dump on the hump down in the ground, the great Glenbard West Hilltoppers, home of Matt Bowen, 0-2 now to start the year.
Happy about that as a West Suburban Silver Conference guy. He still has a grudge from high school.
He's hanging on to something positive, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's him.
How about that Northern Illinois victory, though?
Well, you know, yeah, that can happen. And Dustin and I were talking earlier. You know, Sark after dark down there at Texas had the big win against Michigan, and he was that's what he showed his team as soon as they walked in. You know, Notre he showed Dame them losing. The Notre Dame game, and that's smart on his part because look at the games. Penn State, you could just go down the list. The game, the guys that won big games last week, but there was a lot of close games, you know, a lot of close games that really good football teams struggled till the end.
What's the worst upset you ever suffered at Pitt?
Did you ever lose to a team favored by 28?
28.
Well, no, I don't think that bad. No,
you were favored over
28. But we did have a I've had a couple bad losses like that where we were favored, and it's tough. It's tough. But, God, I mean, Notre Dame, yeah, that's
– Dave, that was a classic trap game, okay? You go down to Texas A&M, and you win that game, and you come back, and you are sky high, and you're fourth in the country –
Yep.
And your coach, it's on him to make sure that doesn't happen. That's why Sark is looking at beating Michigan, going in there. And now they got Texas, San Antonio. Hey, we'll show them this. This is what's likely capable of happening. David asked you, what did you think of the Northern Illinois win? And I love that you are taking it that way and you are positive about it. But that was a Notre Dame loss.
I know.
We will remember that one for a long time because that's going to end up getting Marcus Freeman fired at the end of the year.
Yeah, I hope not, but it was tough. It was tough. But the Bears didn't let it happen, right?
I'm still just in shock that Notre Dame lost. I can't move that quickly. The Bears did win, Dave, and that was awesome to watch.
Yeah, it was. And I'll tell you what, you know, that's why – You know, the old expression, you finish every play, it's never over till it's over. I mean, what a remarkable turn of events it truly was. And
thank goodness for Will Levis.
And you know what? And thank goodness for Will Levis. But you know what? Those things don't happen. The block punt for a touchdown. The pressure at the end. I used to always tell my defensive guys, you know, they'd come out and they'd be disappointed because we didn't get five or six sacks. I says, guys, a lot of times pressure is better than a sack. And that was great pressure on that play. And, you know, so my point is let's give the Bears credit for the win and the coaches credit for the win, but also the effort that was given by those players to make that happen.
Dave's proud of the effort.
I am. I love the effort.
That
block punt was all effort. It was a nice little scheme. They had two guys stacked. They probably caused a little bit of confusion there between the center guard, but effort blocked it. Effort got the pressure.
Dave, better to be proud of effort than Velus Jones. All right, we've got to ask Dave about the quarterback and all the offensive miscues and the offensive line issues. We'll do that next. We're going to hang on to Dave for another segment. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Yeah, I was proud of Velus Jones.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.